Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Firefly Willows LIVE. Our hosts this week are Tarobai High C's Heisi Lutmers and healing conversationalist Mildred Lynn McDonald. We're opening up the phone lines to our listeners for live on-air readings. Do you have a concern or is there a situation you'd like guidance with? Get your question ready and join us by calling 1-646-716-5510 or by using the Skype button on the Firefly Willows LIVE show page at Blog Talk Radio after the show begins broadcasting. We're excited. Give us a listen. Firefly Willows LIVE, helping you find and shine your inner light.
So welcome everyone to the show today. This is Hi C, and we also have with us here in the studio Mildred Lynn. Hello, Mildred Lynn.
Hello, Hi C, and hello everybody out there.
And as you just heard, this is our monthly show for live call-in readings. So if you'd like to get a reading on the air from both Mildred and myself using different tools, feel free to either call 646-716-5510. Or if you're on the show page, you can Skype in by clicking on the little Skype button, and you can get in that way as well. So we are raring to go and anxious to have you call in, and we are ready to offer you readings and see what guidance can come from those. And just as a reminder, you can always find us here on Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/Firefly Willows Live, where all of the shows are archived after they've aired. You can also find our shows and the archives and information at fireflywillows.com/live. And the archive shows are also available as podcasts to download from iTunes. Just do a search for Firefly Willows Live and it'll come right up. So, Mildred Lynn, how has your week been?
I've had a really nice week. In fact, I was up this morning early, probably around 5 o'clock, and watched the sun come up and went outside, and I can feel fall in the air, which I really think when that breeze shifts, it also shifts energy in your body and you start to feel different sensations and think new thoughts. I don't know if you've found that, Hi C.
Well, sure, because I think if we allow ourselves to stay conscientious and attuned to the seasonal changes, the natural cycle of the seasons, that not only do we feel it in the air by like seeing the leaves changing color, but I think we can also feel it inside of ourselves. Like this is a time when we start to feel a little bit more like, oh, maybe I want to start going inward a little more rather than being out. Like summer often brings out that feeling of, I just want to be out, you know, at the beach or at the park or, you know, wherever. And then fall comes and we start to feel like, I don't want to be out quite so much versus I kind of want to be in a little more. And I think we even see that with the way that like seasonal foods grow, because, you know, in summer you have like all of the flowers blooming and all that kind of stuff. And it's all very visual and external and colorful and lively. And then as you start to get into fall and winter, you get a lot more of things like the root vegetables and things that are a little bit more, they're hardier, but they grow more underground rather than on top of the ground, which obviously is a protection thing as well. But I think that's a very kind of symbolic thing also for what happens to us energetically, is we start to go more inward to kind of exploring the roots and wanting to be a little bit more introspective, see what's underneath the surface, rather than being out and about and external so much.
Yeah, it's almost like when I'm feeling the root vegetables, I'm feeling the hearth, fire by the hearth, or hearth in the fire. And it's almost a time where you can really sit in a nice, comfortable chair. And as you said, like go inward and think about and feel what your year has been like. And it naturally seems that's where you go. At least that's where I go. It's the time to get comfortable pillows and nice little blankets and a nice cup of tea and sift away things.
Right. And, you know, I think that some of that really internal introspective time is not quite here. That's, for me, tends to be more as we get to winter, when it actually does get a lot darker for a lot longer throughout the day, mm-hmm. you know, and right now, like yesterday was the spring, the fall equinox. And so what we're really celebrating and focusing on at this point in the year is the harvest and the abundance of the harvest. And so from an energetic standpoint, that's that sense of similar to what you were just saying, you start to think about what has this year brought me? What has, you know, what has come to pass, come to being, come into manifestation in my life? And I think that we have to really pay attention to those things because we don't want to forget to be grateful for and acknowledge those things that have come about or that we've accomplished or that the universe has brought us in some way. But we also want to take time to start considering, is what has harvested or come into being in my life what I had wanted or what I had initially envisioned, or are those the seeds I would have wanted to plant now that I see how they've come into being, or is it something that I would want to replant again? Because sometimes we're grateful and excited about the things that have come into being, but sometimes we have to, it's kind of like cause and effect, we have to look at the things that are coming into being and then questioning why, if those are things that aren't necessarily what we would have wanted or expected, or if it's different from what we had envisioned.
Good point. I know many people in my circle are going through transformations, whether that be geographic or inner or external, and find themselves in a situation of overabundance in the possessions area. So almost to the point where they just cannot believe they have accumulated so many things in their lives, and this is the harvest.
Well, and you can think of the harvest as also the reaping. So it's also perhaps a time to start clearing away. You know, that's like what a farmer would do when they harvest. They're actually clearing the land to let it prepare for the next season of planting. And so the things that have grown and are can no longer be there need to be removed in order to make room for new growth to happen. And so I'm wondering if maybe these people that feel an overabundance where they're recognizing, wow, how did I get all this stuff? if they're seeing that maybe there's a need to do a little bit of paring down, or, you know, a clearing of the clutter, of kind of removing some of those things, because like from a feng shui perspective, those kind of things can start to block the flow of energy for things to continue moving and coming in. Have you found whether they're seeing that as, how did I get so much stuff and I really need to kind of clear some of this out because it's accumulated?
Oh, definitely, and a bit of shock.
Well, yeah.
Where did this all come from? And how do I go about sifting through it? So I'm wondering if you and I might be able to provide some tips or some points on how one would go about pruning down that heap of possessions that somehow they seem so important before, but for whatever reason, they're more cumbersome and heavy and burdensome now. They don't hold that magic and sparkle.
Well, yeah, and it's like, you know, there's a certain aspect of death and regeneration that starts to come with this season. The death is like, you know, when you harvest things, that's actually kind of a death because you're cutting the plant down. So, you know, it's lived its life as a plant and now it goes on to fulfill its purpose as food or something like that. And I think that letting go process is difficult for people because we become used to things, but also we have to recognize that sometimes things just live their lifespan and serve their purpose. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to keep them around forever. This kind of thing always makes me think of people where they complain that they don't have room in their garage to park their car, but then they don't do anything about the fact that there's no room because they have boxes of stuff they haven't even looked at for 7 years all piled up in the garage, and it's just become a storage space for stuff. But as long as we can store it and it's out of sight, then we don't really think about it. Then we just get used to it being there, and then we don't do anything about it other than complain about the fact that we don't have that space.
But it's interesting when energy shifts and life presents you with a challenge or an opportunity that requires you to take stock of everything that you have all of your possessions. That's what I'm trying to say here.
Right.
And then you're faced with that situation. And I know this morning I was speaking with a person who's in Canada, and they were saying, I have so much stuff. And I was laughing to myself, not laughing at this person, laughing to myself, because what came into me is that this stuff is going to be around a long time after you're gone. You're the one with the expiry date. So all this time and attention was being put on, what am I going to do with these possessions? How am I going to manage these possessions? When in reality, at the top of the line would be the human person. That's where the time and attention should have been focused, or there was an opportunity to have it focused. So I had a little chuckle there because I hadn't really thought about that before.
Yeah. I think that we don't want to think about the fact that our expiry date is probably sooner than most of the stuff we get caught up worrying about or trying to accumulate or thinking about or obsessing about or trying to hold on to, you know, like this is mine and I don't want somebody else to have it. And it's like, well, okay, but boy, that's a lot of energy that you're using in the short amount of time you have as a human to not be putting towards developing yourself rather than worrying about how to hold on to something else and keep it from somebody else.
Yeah. And the other thing I noticed too, Heisi, is many people are in a situation where they're considering a career change or something speaking to them, because I'm finding there's lots and lots of people, and of course we understand the economy and there's almost no such thing as a job for life anymore, except maybe if you have a vocation. And so I have an email from someone who was asking for some guidance, and I'm thinking that this might be a good email for us to play with a little bit and see what comes up.
Sure.
Yeah. So actually, this particular person has been, if this is a person from Canada, let's call her Mary. And Mary has been in a job for 15 years around that area, and she's feeling quite done. So Mary would like to change jobs, but she's not really sure what is the motivation behind why she's doing this. She's not sure. She feels stuck in her job, but she's not sure if she's stuck and not moving forward from a fear place, or she's simply in limbo and certain things have to fall in place for her, or if she's really ready to embark on a new adventure. So she has a little bit of stuck feeling, a little bit of confusion in there. And let me check the email again. There's really no timeline. So she's the driver.
Okay.
So that's the information that I have. And I'm wondering if there's anything that might come up in terms of guidance from your end for Mary.
Well, so before we look at that specifically, I think because of some of the things you've touched on, as well as what's going on for this person, really relates to what's going on astrologically, kind of in a big sense, because I think it started last year and it goes through 2015. There's something called a Pluto-Uranus square. And all that means is if you looked at an astrological chart for where Pluto is located and where Uranus is located right now, they would be at a 90-degree angle from each other. And
what does that mean, Heisi? If it's at a 90-degree angle, is that a good thing? Or?
Well, squares tend to be one of the most difficult, they're called aspects, but most difficult positions for things to be in. And, you know, on the one hand, Pluto and Uranus are what are called outer planets because they're beyond the seven classical planets. So Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto are outer planets. And the outer planets tend to either play out, or we tend to see their effect very greatly and very obviously on the world stage and how it affects the larger collective as a whole. But it also affects us personally as well. And if anyone has their astrological chart or looked up their astrological chart, you would want to look at where each of those planets are placed in your chart right now to understand exactly which particular areas in your life this may most affect. It will affect other areas, but it'll most directly affect the ones that those planets are touching on your chart. So with this square, what we have is basically total transformation, radical change, and revolution. And which, you know, may not be surprising considering what you've just said.
And it could be an internal revolution.
Well, yes, it's going to play out both ways. Okay. So, you know, so the planet of Pluto tends to, well, kind of deal with more internal aspects, but it has to do with things like what our soul's intention or purpose is, death, rebirth, transformation, fear, power. So as soon as that planet comes into play, then there's all sorts of things happening around power and power structures, fear of authority or fear of making major change or radical change and transformation in ourselves, or fear of what is changing that we're not doing, but now we're afraid of how things may be changing for us or in our world. And with the death and rebirth, there's that sense of things that are ending, things that need to come into being. And, you know, we really see this. I mean, it's easy to see because we see things like, you know, in the Middle East with all of the kind of revolutions and everything that are going on there. That's a really easy example to understand what this energy is kind of about right now. Because it's about overthrowing old power structures, questioning authority that has simply either been taken for granted or submitted to out of fear because of the way the power is exercised. You know, we see it with even like the whole financial crisis and all of that, because there's a sense of something needs to change in a major way for how the financial systems are structured and work. Now, what we're also seeing is you see the resistance to that. So you see the people that have the power holding on desperately to it and going extra steps to do anything they possibly can to hold on to it, no matter how harsh or how radical.
Sorry to interrupt, Heisi.
It's okay.
Would that be a vibration, perhaps, of grasping and desperation? If a person, would that be an expression of what you were just talking about?
Right. So if we think of death and rebirth, it's kind of like keeping, you know, it's the people who have the power already not wanting anything to change about that structure. And so it's like having somebody on life support in the hospital who's been in a vegetative state for 20 years. But you refuse to let go of them because for whatever reason, whether it's fear or, you know, just that kind of desperate holding on to, like, I don't know who I would be without you. I can't live without you kind of thing. It's not doing anything.
Really? I can't live without you either.
Well, I... but, you know, it's doing nothing for the person that needs to move on in their own transition. So when we look at our world, the people that are trying to hold on to that power, they're not doing it, nor are they doing it in a way that is in any way helpful or beneficial for the majority of people that it affects. They're simply trying to hold on to their power, their money, you know, their position, etc., at the expense of everyone else rather than in a way that is good for the whole or good for the collective. And
don't mean to interrupt. Sorry about that. Yeah.
That's okay. Go ahead.
No, as you were speaking, I was wondering if we brought that down to the human level, into Mary's predicament, how would that commentary translate there? So someone who's in one job, not sure what I understand from her email is she's not completely clear about what the motivation inside of her is for either staying, going, or reaching out, reaching back, being in limbo.
Right. So, well, let me finish really briefly with the big picture aspect, and then I'll bring it down to that personal level. So with Uranus, because we talked about Pluto, so with Uranus, what we have is the higher mind, other worlds, which is kind of like worlds or realms that we can't see, in a sense, like spirit realms and that kind of thing, if you want to get esoteric about it. But it's just this idea of there's, like with Mary, for example, it'd be like there's other worlds out there for me to explore through my career that I may not have even seen or have imagined or envisioned yet. You know, Uranus also, you're really kind of contemplating the future. And there's, with Uranus, you have this need to rebel and be different. So that energy being so strikingly strong right now, if we look at it as a personal level with Mary, is going to kind of be a catalyst for a sense of it's time for me to be or do something completely different. It's time for me to rebel, if you will, against who I've been or what I've been doing. And we may not know what that is just yet because there's kind of a fogginess there, but that's where that stimulation of that thought process is coming from. And, you know, with these two planets in square to each other, what you're really getting is things like social revolution, liberation, and personal freedom. And so what she may be experiencing is the career I've been doing or the work I've been doing has started to feel too limiting to who I am or who I've become or who I envision myself becoming. And therefore, I know that if I keep doing that, I'm going to feel very stuck or constrained or limited. And I want to break out of that box. I want to break out of those chains. But I have to be willing to question authority. Now, that we see on the world stage, where there's questioning authority of like overthrowing dictators or questioning the government and that kind of thing. But on a personal level, questioning authority is kind of like allowing ourselves to start questioning the stories we've told ourselves over and over again that have become the basis for how we see ourselves, how we live our life, which have become the rules or the structure within which we can define ourselves or that we live. And we have to be willing to basically throw those stories out and start rewriting the stories, rather than just going in and saying, well, maybe if I just change a word here or there, it'll be okay. Because that's just keeping us in the same structure or limitation, rather than completely rewriting the story from the beginning and allowing it to be something completely different.
That's a really good point about rewriting the story. And as you were talking, what was coming to me, for people who are out there who are listening to the wisdom and the guidance of High C, which is excellent, is if you're there and you're saying, well, I'm not really sure what my story is, or I've had my story so long, I don't know how to get out of it. One thing that I would offer, if you're in that predicament or in that situation or looking at that type of opportunity, is to go back to when you were maybe a little girl or a little boy, maybe 6 or 7, and just freehand picture yourself back at that time and write what you love to do. And that may help you, as High C was saying, it's just not changing a word of the story, but perhaps going through that exercise will help you touch the truth of your story. And that might just be a place to start. Over to you, High C.
Well, that's something very similar to what I often recommend to people, because I'll say, okay, if you think back to when you were 5 or when you were a child, you know, it's funny to see the resistance in people, because I'll say, you know, think back to when you were 5. And if somebody said, what do you want to be when you grow up? What would you have said? And for some people that they answer. And for a lot of people, you see this resistance because they immediately go, well, I can't remember what I would have said when I was 5. And so I'm like, okay, just think back to when you were a child. But what I tell them is, you know, first of all, answer the question. So it doesn't even matter if they say they wanted to be a ballerina or an astronaut, or, you know, a doctor or whatever. But then it's not so much about the specific thing you wanted to be. It's more about, why did you want to be that? You know, did you want to be a doctor because you wanted to help people in your life? Did you want to be an astronaut because you wanted to really explore new places and new things and kind of push the envelope of what has already been done and go into new realms. Did you want to be a ballerina because you enjoyed performing in some way or being in front of people? And it's getting that essence of why you wanted to be it that can then inform what you want to tap back into that can lead you in the direction of where to go now with what you've been doing. Because if you look at what kind of career you've been in, and it seems to have veered away from some of those initial desires or impulses for what you wanted to be and do in the world, then this would be the opportunity to start using those criteria as a basis for how to look for where to go or what to do next. So if somebody has, and it doesn't have, I mean, right now we may be in more of a radical change period, but, you know, I try to reassure people, it's like, if you've been working in marketing in the high tech world for, you know, 10 years, it doesn't mean that you suddenly have to go back to medical school and become a doctor, if that's not feasible. It could be that now you make a shift by looking for jobs that would be in the biotech kind of world. Or, well, here's a perfect example. A client I had just the other night, she had been in the corporate world for many years, like 15 or 20 years, and she had recently decided to make a career change, and she completely moved out of the corporate world and now is working, she just got a job, working in a hospital in the oncology area because she was, well, fascinated by the technologies and things that have developed that we have now to treat like cancer and things like that. And she also wanted to do work that she'd always wanted to do, which was to kind of be a part of the healing world and, you know, help people in a more direct way and that kind of thing. And so it's not that she had to go back to medical school to do that. It's just that she found a whole different environment in which to be able to put her energy that was more aligned with what she was truly passionate about and what she really wanted to be doing and bringing to the world. And I think that's really the key, like the exercise you were just saying, and similar to what I do, is get the person to come back to what is it that you really wanted to do, not so much the specific thing necessarily, but why you wanted to do that, and then use that as understanding where to go from here and what kind of thing to look for that is much more in alignment with those particular motivations or passions. Does that make sense?
And what, oh, total sense. And as you were speaking, the other point that came up for me is if a person is able to go back to when they were 5, 6, or 7 and play a little bit about where they were then and write a little bit about that or envision themselves, also pay attention to how they feel and how different parts of their bodies feel. I bet it would be a really good feeling. It's probably a very freeing and truthful and liberating feeling. And if they can capture that feeling and then quickly envision themselves in their life today, notice the discrepancy between how they feel when they're in their truth that they would have maybe experienced when they were a younger child, feeling liberated, and then maybe today when they are feeling constrained, notice the difference in that. And then to take it a step further, to look at things in their lives or people or experiences that support the positive, liberating feeling. And that may take a little bit of time. It may even take a couple of months, but an exercise very, very useful and transferable to any part of your life. And it can be fun, too.
Well, sure. And you know, if we take, I mean, what you're talking about is very much like the astrological energies of the liberation and that kind of thing. And if we take that to a personal level, if we think of this Pluto-Uranus square being about liberation and personal freedom and total transformation, both internally and externally, then I would say if they're doing that exercise you were just talking about, one thing people want to allow themselves to do is liberate your imagination and give yourself the freedom to imagine without limit. So don't just imagine, I need to get a new job, where are the other high-tech companies that might have job openings, versus it's like when you get asked that question of if money was no object, you know, where would you want to live? Or if you could do anything in the world, what would you want to do? You know, that's really what this time is about, allowing ourselves to do. And it's really hard for people to do that, because you ask somebody a lot of times, if money was no object and you had all sorts of freedom to do whatever you wanted to do, where would you want to live? What would you want to do? Well, I'd want to live there. Oh, but it's really expensive to live there. So, you know, as long as I could get a job that would allow me, I'm like, that's not freeing your imagination, you know? And so that's what is really wanted here. And questioning authority is about, really, it's about that. It's like not allowing other voices that have told you what you're supposed to do, what you should do, what you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to do it, not to let those things, whether it's your own voice or other voices that you hear in your head, well, not that somebody's crazy, but, not to let those voices somehow have the authority over you allowing yourself to imagine a possibility without limitation, to see yourself completely differently. And, you know, total transformation. Allow yourself to envision what you would be like or what your life would be like if you allowed yourself to totally transform yourself or your life or what you're doing, rather than simply thinking about it in the confines of what you already know.
Yeah, and if I was a person, I would probably ask both of us, yes, I'd really like to do that, but I have no idea how to do that. So I know from working with people in Canada, when I was in Canada, sometimes probing questions, a set of probing questions, they're really useful just as an initiation into this process. Or there may be other things that you found useful, Hi C.
Well, so I have some questions here that actually that were really good. I actually got them from an astrologer on his blog. Storm Sestavani had written this a while ago when some of this Pluto-Uranus stuff was starting. And I'll put those out there for people to use in just a second. But one thing I wanted to say, and this relates to Mary in her specific situation as well as kind of in a larger situation for anybody listening. Another aspect about what can really help us during this particular time of the astrological energies, and keep in mind, this goes through 2015, so it's like something that's ongoing. It's not like it just happens during a week. But a big aspect of how to navigate through this and what can be helpful, what's really starting to emerge, is a sense of community and networking, surrounding ourselves or connecting with people that are of a like mind. And have a similar kind of vision of what they want to see the world be or something like that. So, you know, whether we look at that kind of in a general sense of trying to establish and connect with community more on a everyday level, if it's a situation like Mary's, I would actually say that if she can allow herself to not limit her thinking in what she wants to do or where she goes, and as she does that, seek out connection with networks and communities of people that may stimulate that kind of thinking. So it'd be like going to groups that, you know, do exercises and things around opening up the imagination or exploring possibility for career without saying what it is you should do versus imagine whatever it is that you can about doing something. But that networking and community, and also just the networking aspect, would show that probably turning to, relying on, utilizing networks that we have or that we can become a part of would be much more beneficial in connecting to who and what it is that might be right for us, because through the networking, we often end up connecting with people that have done something similar to what we've wanted to do but didn't know how to do it or didn't think we could do it, and now we connect with someone who has done something very similar, so they either inspire us or they have practical suggestions on how they were able to do it that we can then utilize. So that was another aspect I wanted to make sure I put in there, because that's also another really important way and something that's really emerging very strongly as to what this particular astrological period is about and what can really both help and that it's trying to foster and bring into being for us through this time.
Yeah, that's excellent. And I wanted also to share on a comical note for people who are listening to what Hi C has to say and maybe a few things that I've passed along, is that sometimes the invitation to find community or to network or find like-minded people may take you a little out of your comfort zone. And I have two examples for that. The first one relates directly to Mary, and she had mentioned in her email that she had started taking painting lessons. She had no idea that she had an aptitude to paint. More specifically, she found she had a gift for painting flowers. And what I was sharing with her is one of the answers that she's looking for, or perhaps part of the structure to open up her imagination, is in the flowers, is in the art of making the flowers. And if someone had told her maybe 6 months ago that she would be painting flowers and found out that she had an aptitude for it, which she had no idea, she probably would have laughed them out of the room. And the second funny thing happened to me, and it happened to me yesterday. And once again, speaking to community and being open to community, yesterday I started my first ballroom dancing lesson, which was great. And I was in the studio, and I was looking at the mirrors and the beautiful floor and the acoustics. And one of the instructors came over, and she was sharing the different classes that were on the go. And lo and behold, the class that appealed to me the most was ballet. Now, I'm not a ballet dancer, but I did know enough to follow my feeling, because when she said the word, something inside of me opened up. And at that point, I could either choose to have the courage to say, yes, I'm going to join the ballet class, and put all my little thoughts aside, like I've never taken a ballet step in my life, or I could have embraced the opportunity and recognized, because of the feeling when she mentioned this was so strong and so liberating and so opening, that yes, there is a gift in there for me to help me get through this time of transition. So if there's people listening out there, and Mary, thank you for letting me share your story about the painting. If you're finding you're being taken in an area where there's a community or like-minded people that you've not experienced before, please, please keep your mind open and keep your heart open. And I don't know if you've experienced anything like that recently, Hi C, in this energy.
Well, I think that what you just described, though, is kind of that liberating aspect of what I was talking about, because you would have never thought about nor considered ballet.
No.
And yet, and it wasn't even as a result of you on your own suddenly thinking or coming to a realization of maybe I want to explore ballet. It was, the catalyst was because of the connection to somebody else. It was, yes, this other person that presented it, which goes to the whole networking and community idea. And one thing you really have to attune to during this time is being aware, carefully listening, and really paying attention to the subtle things that come through. It may not be obvious, but it may come through in a subtle way. And if we're conscientious and conscious and listening, then we will pick that up. But if we're looking for something that's obvious or big to make it okay, or to make it so that we think, oh, now I know what I'm supposed to do, it may not come in that way, and we may be disappointed. So I thought that was a perfect illustration of what you just said, that it was kind of subtle because it was just something that she presented in the context of other things. It wasn't like she said, oh, I think you'd be perfect for ballet, you know, and suddenly made it really obvious. But it was also something that kind of blew open your thinking and liberated your thinking to suddenly go, wow, there's something I would have never thought about or considered, and yet it totally resonated with me, and I need to be willing to explore that or act on that or listen to that.
Now, and for our listeners out there, it wasn't that I went gung-ho and I was totally open to this. I also had to let go of the past, because the thought that came in, or the thought pattern that didn't really support me that came in, was, gee, I think I'm a little old to start ballet.
Well,
so
but
I had to...
But that's questioning the old authority. That's the authority, yeah, in your head that somehow, mm-hmm, says there's an age limit to who can do ballet, rather than simply going and doing it and getting whatever benefits you can from it at whatever age, versus, well, if I can't go and do ballet class to become a ballerina because I'm too old to do that, then what would be the point?
Yeah, and where I went with it, for people who are wondering where you could possibly go, when that thought came in, and it was a strong thought, So in my head I was saying to myself, I think I'm a little bit too old to be starting ballet. But then where I went with that from my heart, because if you stand in the silence, your heart will speak, is that your soul isn't. My soul is timeless. So that's how I took myself from a thought pattern that didn't serve me or would limit me, which would be an old authority that judged me, I guess I could even say, and went into a more expansive energy from my heart. Go ahead.
That's very Uranus and Pluto, because Uranus is the higher mind, which says we think of it in a bigger way or a higher way. Pluto is about the soul's intention and purpose. So what you just described is exactly that. Your higher mind helped you to realize my soul doesn't age. So feeding the soul or listening to what may be right for me on a soul level is always going to be right, and I have to give myself the personal freedom to be that and to do that, knowing that it's feeding the soul rather than it being about what the physical limitation or what it would do for the physical body necessarily, that I talk myself out of because we're told to think certain ways about age or whatever.
Exactly.
So I'm going to leave listeners hanging about those questions we have to thought process, because we actually have somebody that's called in asking for a reading. So I thought we might go and talk to them first. And then we can come back to the questions after that, if that sounds okay with you, Mildred.
That sounds great, Heisey. I can't wait to hear what the questions are either.
So let's see if we can bring in the caller. So is this the caller from area code 704? Hello, 704 area code? Well, we will try to deal with that in just a bit. So before we go to the questions, I think we'll take a quick break. That way, if you want to grab a quick drink of water or something. Do you want us to do an actual reading for Mary?
Well, let's take a break, see if we can reengage with the person who called in. And if not, let's help Mary out. I think that's a great idea.
Okay, and we'll come back and we'll do, I'll also tell you what some of the questions were that I thought were really good for prompting that thought process you were talking about.
That's great.
Stay tuned. We'll be back after this little break. If you'd like to call in for a reading, the phone number is 646-716-5510. Or if you're on the show page, you can Skype in by just clicking the little Skype button there towards the top of the page, and you can get in that way as well. So we will be right back after this.
Firefly Willows LIVE is proud to support Mikaboo Companion Bird Rescue. Founded in 1996 and operating throughout the greater San Francisco Bay Area, Mikaboo is a rescue organization for parrot type and other domesticated companion birds. Their volunteers, the heart and soul of Mikaboo, are dedicated to rescuing companion birds who have been neglected, abused, injured, or surrendered to them, with the ultimate goals of rehabilitation and rehoming these feathered beings. Mikaboo offers bird education classes to people interested in adopting a rescue bird, as well as to the general bird-loving public. Find them at www.mikaboo.org. Mikaboo is spelled M-I-C-K-A-B-O-O, or email them at mail@mikaboo.org. Information on how to make a donation to help the birds can be found at www.mikaboo.org, or by emailing donations@mikaboo.org, M-I-C-K-A-B-O-O. This tip of the week from Mikaboo Companion Bird Rescue. Companion birds need toys for more than fun. Our feathered friends typically spend many hours inside their cage, a much different environment than the boundless forest to which they are accustomed. Playing provides intellectual stimulation, helps alleviate boredom and stress, and can help prevent or reduce undesirable behaviors. Want to learn more? See Mikaboo's website, mikaboo.org. That's MikaBoo.org.
And we are back. And Mildred Lynn is back.
Yeah, hi, see.
And we're all back. So I will go ahead and share with you what these questions were that hopefully will be good prompts for people's thought process. And this is really for what's going on right now, as well as, I mean, certainly past this as well, but especially through 2015, kind of as this, the energies of this Pluto-Uranus square are going on. And we'll see what you have to say about them as well, Mildred.
Okay.
So the first question, what in my life is not working? So it's really a good time to be taking inventory of what is not working in our lives, and then how and what do I need to do in order to start making changes there? Second question, how am I beholden to the current structure? So how am I stuck in what I'm used to, familiar with, comfortable in? How do I hand power over to other people and other things and say, this is simply how it is, or this is simply how I'm supposed to do it? The third question, what am I doing that feeds the current system? Which is similar to what I was talking about, like how am I playing into that? How am I giving the power to that? How am I continuing to support something that isn't really right or healthy, but I'm not doing anything to necessarily be a part of the change? Fourth question, do I question authority? We've obviously talked about that. Fifth question, do I feel that my individuality is stifled? And here we could see even how that might relate to Mary's situation, because she may be feeling the need for making a change because who she is as an individual. But I think more importantly, what people don't necessarily pay attention to as much is not so much who they are, it's who they've become, because they still think of themselves in an old way. And they are either not paying attention to, or they're suddenly struck by, wow, I'm a totally different person. And I see myself becoming somebody totally different in some way. And how I've structured my life, what I've been doing, where I've been putting my energy, really was about feeding that old self. And I need to start making changes to support and feed the new self and the self that is emerging, rather than just falling back into what I'm used to, which is really just staying stuck in the old self. So asking that question, do I feel that my individuality is stifled, is really kind of tapping into who are you now as an individual compared to who you were in the past? And are you doing anything to support, encourage, feed, and develop who you are and who you see yourself becoming versus still operating as the old self? And then the last question, am I bound to a system that is no longer working for me? Which would tie into that self aspect, because it says, am I bound to a system that still is keeping me stuck in the old way or the old self, rather than allowing the new self to emerge or freeing and liberating what is wanting to emerge and come out of me at this point in my life? So those are the questions.
Yeah, they're great questions. The other thing that came into me as you were reading the questions is that for some people, answering some of these questions are going to be very, it's going to be very easy because they're ready and open to do it. And other people, it may take them a couple of attempts, because the first person they have to get honest with is themselves. And that takes a little bit of navigating at times. So what I would suggest, or what I found worked with a lot of people, is just to take it step by step. It's more important to put a little bit of time aside each day, maybe even at the same time each day. And even if you spend 5 minutes with these questions, and not to get discouraged. Now, why would you not get discouraged? You're not going to get discouraged if you have good expectations. So the reason you would get discouraged is that you have expectations that are not realistic. So what would be realistic for these questions? The most important part is creating a structure that you could put these questions in to manage them. So, for example, the first one, what was the first one again? I see.
What in your life is not working?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what in your life is not working? So let's say I wanted to look at that question. So this is Mildred Lynn. I feel like I'm at an intersection point. I'm feeling a bit frustrated, like many people are. I'm feeling a bit confused, a bit stifled. And I need a tool that I can work with to help me navigate through this area. And High C has provided the tool. What in my life is not working? So how do I go about discerning that? Because often when you're in a place of confusion or feeling stuck, sometimes it's a little bit hard to get clarity. I don't know if anybody else has found that, but I found that myself. So what in my life is not working? How would one ever approach that question? Well, the first thing that I would recommend is to put yourself in an environment that you find very balanced and peaceful. So if I was going to be answering this question, specifically the first one, and you'll notice that I'm not trying to tackle all of them at once, I would probably give to myself a nice walk in nature or a nice walk down the sidewalk, perhaps sitting in a garden or somewhere where you feel, and pay attention to this, somewhere where you feel you can sit down and everything feels in harmony. For some people, it might be putting on nice classical music or a new age CD, or it's different for different people. Some people are visual. It could be smells. Maybe someone finds when they're making muffins in the kitchen, healthy muffins in the kitchen, they go into their zone and everything feels balanced and happy, and all of a sudden they can hear themselves humming or singing. So what I would do is I would put myself in that environment, and then from my heart, not from my head, I would place my hand on my heart and probably take 2 or 3 deep breaths. And the reason that you have your hand on your heart is because you're providing guidance for your being, that this is where you want the question answered from. And keep breathing just in and out and in and out and in and out, and see what comes up for you. And it may be a hint of a vibration. You may just get a little word, or you may get a feeling. And that's enough. That's enough for that day. So then the next day, you might want to repeat the exercise, only taking 3 to 5 minutes. And maybe you'll find the same vibration has come up. Maybe something different has come up. But what you're really doing is you're giving yourself the gift of structure, and High C is an expert in ritual, and I may even, would ritual be the correct term, High C, if I was going to say you're creating a ritual for yourself in regard to this question?
Sure, because ritual is just doing something in a same or similar way over and over again. And it helps to create, it's like creating a muscle memory. So if the person took a walk in the same place or sat in the same place, maybe at the same time each day, after doing that for a few times, what happens is as soon as they get into that place, it's like if they're going to go to a garden, as soon as they walk into that garden, their mind and their body and their spirit knows this is where we're going, this is what's going to happen. So it immediately starts to shift into, say, the meditation mode or the reflective mode or whatever it is, and we don't have to spend a lot of time trying to get into that place, let me get centered, let me quiet my mind. It just kind of starts to happen naturally because we've trained our mind and our body to know when we enter this particular space, this is what we do.
Yeah, and some people have that sense of shift when they walk into, let's say, a holy place, like a sanctuary or a chapel or a church. They find the energies different there, and automatically they go into a space where they become calmer. Or someone could find the same if they stood by the ocean and listened to the waves. So it doesn't really have anything to do with anything specific, only something that's meaningful to you and your energy in terms of how you balance it and what's good to balance it. So starting off, you're giving yourself the gift of structure. to support you. And once you have that structure in place, it provides a wonderful vessel that you can massage the questions in.
Right.
And then the other part of it, and I touched on this earlier, is managing your expectations. So once you decide you're going to invest some time in yourself and to do these questions, which are beautiful, profound questions, know that just because your head is ready to process all the answers, maybe your heart needs a little bit more time and you're going to get something richer. So just a little hint there from someone who tends to be enthusiastic, because my natural tendency myself, using myself as an example, is, oh my heavens, oh boy, I have 6 questions. Let's tackle them right now. And when I'm in that mode, that's totally in my head, because I would get out my pen and paper and I would immediately want to create a list. And then all I have there is a list, but it's not really touching my heart. So that's my personal experience and the experience that I found working with different people who have chosen to go the route of profound questions. I don't know if you have anything else to add there, Hi-C.
Well, I think that a couple of things you said are really important, in the sense that, one, don't overwhelm yourself by, say, trying to figure out, I gave 6 questions. Don't overwhelm yourself thinking, I have to figure out all 6 of these questions at once. Just sit with one question, and maybe you spend 6 months just pondering one question, because it needs, like you said, that time. To me, it's like time to breathe, time to process, time to allow things to simply come in when they're ready or when they need to, because now we're more receptive to hearing them or doing something with them. And also, the fact that it's taking that time is very reflective of these particular astrological energies, because, for example, this square basically lasts from, it was either late 2011 or early 2012 through 2015. So this isn't something that just happens overnight. And we have to allow for and accept that kind of process and time frame for things to just emerge and to happen, rather than needing the I want it now, I want instant gratification. If it didn't happen in 3 days, then obviously I'm doing it wrong, or it's never going to happen, so I'm going to give up. It's just relaxing into the time that it takes, rather than trying to set a hard timeline for it.
And when I lived in the Gatineau Hills in Quebec, I realized, through living with nature, that head time and heart time are in 2 different time zones sometimes.
Right.
Yeah, so that was a big lesson. My head and my heart sometimes had 2 completely different agendas.
Well, your head always thinks it knows best, but your heart, connected to the higher self, actually understands what is best for you. And if we can trust that, then we can get out of the way of what our head seems to be trying to convince us of, versus just feeling our way through it and relaxing into it.
Yeah, excellent point, I see.
So I'm thinking that maybe we could do a reading for everyone listening around some of these themes, whether it's how we can free ourselves from the limitations that we live within, or what is it that needs to be liberated right now for us? Or we can use one of the questions that I had. What do you feel might be most helpful or beneficial for everyone listening?
I feel myself, do I question authority? Number 4.
Okay. Because I
and
think...
the reason I... Yeah, go, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, the reason that one appeals to me the most is because, well, yesterday I had an experience where I had to override the societal message that I was too old for ballet. So that was an authority society figure message that I absorbed somewhere along the happy trail. Many, many people, everybody has those type of messages that are speaking to them. So if we can provide some guidance on that, at least that would provide some good questioning starting points.
Sure. Do you want to talk about what tools you use?
Sure. Yeah. Well, Well, one thing that I find really useful in terms of discerning this type of question is in the realm of music. And usually when I'm working in this area, different songs come into me. So what I would invite people to do is to come up with a list of maybe 5 to 10 songs. So these are songs that appeal to you throughout your life. Like someone might have a song, "You Are My Sunshine," or someone might be really attracted to the music from The Sound of Music or Fiddler on the Roof, or it could be something more contemporary. It just depends. So, but instead of listening to the words of the song, listen to the song and just listen to the musical vibration of the song. And as you're doing this, write down the words that you're feeling, like the words that describe the feelings to the songs. So if you would do that and you would just put that on one side of a piece of paper. So you're going to listen to 5 to 10 songs, and these aren't the songs of the moment. These are songs, you'll want to spend some time with this, that have meaning to you. Like, for example, one song that I love is Barcarolle from Tales of Hoffman. I always love that song, and I have no idea why I love that song. And I love that song because of how it makes me feel, and I would be able to write different words down about that express the feeling. So do that for 5 to 10 songs. And really spend some time and look at what's common in each of the songs, because you're going to be able to develop a profile there. You're probably wondering, where is Mildred Lynn going with this? Well, where I'm going with it is on another piece of paper, write down the authority figures or messages in your life. Like one authority figure could be work. Who are you answerable to? That's how I would do it. I am answerable to my boss. I am answerable to, let's say, my husband or wife or my family. I am answerable to my children. I am answerable to the tax man. I am answerable to my doctor. Whomever you may feel is an authority figure in your life, or you may be answerable to a set of beliefs that you've been carrying with you. Now, for the next part, after you have that done, take each of the authority figures and when you're visualizing that authority figure that you have chosen to give power over you in your life, go back to those song vibrations, how the songs are making you feel, see if they are in harmony or see if they are in discord. If they're in harmony, give it a great big check mark, because you know in your heart that the messages that you're receiving from this authority figure, because not all authority figures are bad, some authority figures are wonderful, and the messages coming from your heart in terms of musical vibrations work together very well. You may find that there's an authority figure in your life, and when you compare it or you think about the vibrations of the music, you may just get a bad feeling in the pit of your stomach, or you may just feel your throat closing over. That is a really, really good indicator that there's discord there. And if there is discord, what I would ask you is, what's filling the space? If you're not feeling the harmony and the love and the positive vibrations and words and messages related to this authority figure, how are you feeling? And you can have a third column, and you could write down those feelings. The feelings might be, when I think about this authority figure and the messages, well, it just makes me sick to my stomach. For an example, in case I might be moving too quickly for some people, one thing that would cause me to have discord would be in the food chain. So there's different regulatory groups that are responsible for making sure that we have clean food, and it's coming to light that maybe there's things in our food that may not be the best for our bodies long term, and that makes me have certain feelings that are not in harmony with maybe musical songs with beautiful feelings, and the feelings would hit me in my stomach, or the feelings would hit me in my throat where I'd feel constricted, or I may have a feeling of being betrayed or used or whatever. So this would be an example of an authority figure in my life that is in discord with who I am in terms of being a human being in truth. And so that is an area that I would put a big star by, that I would have an opportunity to work on. How does that, make sense, I see?
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So, so here, what we want to look at to offer and see what guidance comes for us, I think for you and I, as well as for everyone listening. I mean, certainly we can't say that we're just talking to people that are listening. is around, am I questioning authority? I also think kind of in that is, and how can I go about questioning authority or not feeling so limited or beholden to what I have given power to have authority over me, over the way I think, over the way I see myself, etc. Does that sound right?
Yeah, perfect. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, just take it a step further. Yeah.
So I'll be looking at a few things. I'm going to pull a tarot card. I'll look at the I Ching. And then I'm also going to offer both an herb and a crystal for people that could energetically help support questioning authority, support working with these challenges to what we've given power to that we think has authority or power over us. So those are the tools that I'm going to be offering. And, you know, if something comes to you, of course, jump in.
Okay. Alrighty.
Besides just, intuitively listening for whatever music or whatever wants to come through as a message, are you using any other tools? Or are you just going to, is that the tool you're going to be using for this?
That's the tool that came up for me right now for
okay.
our listeners. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So when I pulled the tarot card, the card that came up is the Justice card. And, you know, first of all, the Justice card here is number 11. And 11 is called a master number because it's a repetition of a number, like two ones. And when you have a master number, one of the things it can kind of represent is this idea of taking something to a spiritual level, to a higher level, to the next level. It goes beyond the mundane or beyond where we've been with it or what we've simply been in energetically with it. So 11 is two ones, and one is about beginning things, planting seeds, starting things, or restarting things, renewing things. And at an 11, there's this idea of not so much starting something brand new as it is taking something to a new level or in a new direction or renewing ourselves with something. So we could see that with when we talked about go back to thinking when you were a child, what you wanted to do, what is it and why is it that you wanted to do that? How do we now reconnect with that? How do we renew that passion or that desire through what it is that we're now looking for or wanting to do in the world? But it's taking it to the next level or uncovering a new layer of it. I think of this like an 11. I tend to think of if I already have a bachelor's degree in something, it's time for me to go and get a graduate degree in it rather than start a whole new bachelor's degree. 11 is also a number of balance, as is the Justice card. So we see that one of the important things is balance, and I think of balance here like alignment, and because of the Uranus-Pluto thing, we have the internal and external. So we want to have an internal and an external balance and alignment with how we are, who we are, what we want, reflected through how we are, what we're doing, and what we're surrounded by in our external world. So our internal self and our external self needs to be in balance and alignment rather than I always want to do this on my internal self, but what I'm surrounded by is very different or outside of that. And that often, when we talk about authority, is I think of authority a lot of times, this idea of where we get stuck, like I said before, in the shoulds, the supposed tos, or like what you were saying with what society says when, you know, it's like, oh, well, society would say I'm too old to take ballet. You know, mm-hmm. It's when we get stuck in that external that is not in alignment with what our internal is informing us of. And we want to pay attention more to the internal and then do what is necessary to shift or change the external to be in alignment with that. Sometimes that can also mean things happen in the external, like there may be a change that comes about in our external world that opens up opportunity for us to go in a new direction. It's like if somebody gets laid off from a job, that opens up the opportunity for them to say, well, what I've really wanted to be doing inside for the past 3 years is this. Now I can do that because I was too stuck in being afraid of leaving a job, but now that it's been taken away from me, there's no reason for me to not do that. And, you know, and the authority may come in and say, well, but it's, you know, right now isn't a good time to take a risk. You know, you should just get a job that'll pay the bills. But that's where we want to question that authority and listen more to the internal authority of what's coming from our higher self rather than giving too much power to the external authority that's trying to tell us what is supposed to be that isn't necessarily in alignment with that. Because the Justice card is ultimately a card of, finding our truth and being willing to live it. So I would think it's a card of being willing to live truthfully, honestly, and authentically in the world. So questioning authority or looking at how we interact with authority is really, with this card, saying is what you submit to or what you give power to have authority over you causing you to be less than authentic in who you are and the way you live and present yourself in the world. And if it's not in agreement or alignment, then instead of questioning yourself and how you can somehow change or diminish yourself to fall in line with the authority, question the authority and say, well, just because they say that doesn't mean that that's right for me, and I need to be willing to do what is true and right for me and stay true to who I am, true to my principles, true to my beliefs, rather than try to live according to and please someone or something else's truth. And the Justice card often is about finding our voice, speaking up, saying what we know is right. Here we could see that kind of in a big way, because this would be like taking up a cause, being part of a political movement, doing something that you believe in, even though it may be challenging, even though it may cause disagreement, conflict, but not yes, if we look at the Middle East, we can see how that causes conflict. When the mass of people raise their voice and say, living under a dictatorship is no longer right for us and we want it to change, that's going to create conflict. That's not an easy thing to do and it's not an easy process to go through. But there's a sense that they felt they have remained silent for too long. And the Justice card comes along when it says, look at where you've remained silent for too long and find your voice to now start speaking up, speaking out, and speaking your truth rather than silencing yourself any longer out of fear of what someone else says you're supposed to say or you shouldn't say. So,
that's excellent. I see what was coming through when you were mentioning that about finding your own voice, because I would naturally go to, well, how do I do that? How do I find my own voice? And one thing that I've found over the last 10 years that really helped me is the concept that of keeping your filter clean, that I'm the authority of me and everything is for my consideration. I'm not saying I'm an expert on everything. I will say I'm open to educating myself and gathering truth and gathering facts, but I accept the responsibility and the accountability to keep my filter clean. And that means that I look at myself as everything comes through a filter. So if you start to look at life that way, then authority figures and experts and whatever, the playing field starts to level and everybody becomes a human being. And then the other beautiful thing that happens is you start to become empowered and you want to educate yourself on where this belief comes from. Does it suit me? Is it in alignment? Is it speaking to my internal voice? All those different types of questions and those different types of concepts start to gain some clarity because you've created a structure where you're not giving your power away to anybody. So that's one thing that I found very useful. And the other thing in terms of authority and justice is people sometimes think, I'm not going to say feel, but sometimes people think that if you're going to question authority, it means you have to become a radical. Or you have to bring yourself, throw yourself into the land of being uncomfortable. And what I'd like to offer there for people's consideration is it's really about the degree to which. So you can agree with a certain part of an authoritative message, but maybe not 100% of it. So you don't have to throw it all out with the bathwater, the baby and the bathwater. But you do have control, and if you start to accept responsibility once again for discerning the degree to which you will entertain or this authoritative message or belief supports your personal truth, they are two little hints that I found personally that really helped me.
Right. Now, one thing I would say to that is right now, especially going back to the astrological energies, is also a time when you want to allow yourself and not shy away from radically thinking differently. So even if it seems completely radical, you want to not limit yourself or give in to the limitation of, well, yeah, that would be nice, but I can't go there, versus allowing yourself to go there. Now, again, that you may not act in such a radical way necessarily, but at least allow your mind, your thought process, your imagination to have radical, unlimited possibility rather than trying to think too limited or in too limited of a way.
Yeah. What I found personally in my life, shifting to having a clean filter and determining the degree to which was radical, that taking back the power from maybe authority figures or perceived experts and saying, well, I take responsibility for myself. So that was in terms of my life and other people that I've seen, just shifting that is a huge shift.
Right. But, and I also
and
think...
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. That's fine.
Well, I also think that one way of thinking radically is to challenge yourself. So either in your own thought process, be willing to play devil's advocate and think about it, consider it, look at it from a completely opposite perspective that may be completely different or counter to what you would normally think or go to, and be willing to engage with others who perhaps have a completely different perspective or opinion or thought about something. It's like debate, as a way of stimulating your thought process in a way that you may not have considered before, and to be open to the fact that they may actually have a valid point. You know, we see that so missing, like on the political realm right now, where people are just in one side or the other. There's no listening to the other side. There's no consideration of anything the other side is saying because everything they're saying is wrong. And therefore, I'm not even going to listen, let alone entertain the possibility that there may be any kernel of truth in it. And this radical way of thinking would be about sitting down with someone simply to have a conversation that is on the completely opposite side of the aisle from you, and just being willing to listen to what they're saying and where they're coming from. You may be surprised that there's some middle ground there. You may not change your mind about something. You may actually have what you're thinking reinforced. But instead of simply getting stuck in, you're opening yourself up to.
That's an excellent point.
So the I Ching that came up is certainly not a surprise, because it's hexagram number 20, and it's called contemplation. And aspects that are related to this hexagram are things like getting an overview of something, of taking kind of a detached observation of something. So it's like stepping back and looking at it from an objective standpoint, which is very justice card as well. Because if you think like justice in the court system, that's where you have to take an objective look at the facts and what happened rather than allowing emotion or subjectivity to guide you. So this hexagram is encouraging us to detach ourselves a little bit. So it's like we get emotionally caught up in things, but if we step back and look at it from a more detached or objective point of view, we can see, oh, just because I've given power to this authority to say this is what's right or this is how something should be, when I step back and look at that, and whether that's something we tell ourselves or that we take from someplace else, we can step back and we look at it and we go, well, wait a minute, that doesn't really seem totally right to me. But I was so in the middle of it or just took it for granted that I've never really questioned it. And that's what we're actually asking us to do. Because this hexagram is about increasing our understanding of something. So it's taking in, and that's why, like when I said sitting down with somebody on the opposite side of the aisle, you're taking, you're understanding and increasing your understanding of where they come from, what they think, why they believe what they believe. Whether that changes your own beliefs in some way or not isn't necessarily the point, versus you're simply open to the possibility that that may happen, or maybe just what you believe is reinforced, but at least you have a better understanding of who that is on the other side of the aisle, or what that perspective is about, or what that belief comes from. You also have things with this hexagram like solitude, which goes right to what you had been talking about earlier, which was setting aside a time and a space to step away from everything and be and sit with yourself so that you can listen to your internal self rather than being distracted or drowned out by all of the external voices and noise. And integration through reflection, which is a kind of similar to that. So it's allowing things to kind of integrate and figure out how they want to fit together for you by giving yourself and them time to reflect on that and to kind of process and do that, rather than, which would be like taking the time, allowing the time for that to happen rather than needing it to happen right away, and to not think that we have to have it all figured out right away. And also, if we, like we're talking about authority, if we hear something that we give authority to, whether it's a person we have invested authority in, whether it's rules and regulations or shoulds and shouldn'ts and all of that that we have given power to as the authority of how we live our life or what we think or believe, etc. What this hexagram encourages us to do is not make a snap judgment or just take it and say, oh, okay, then that's how I'll operate. Allow time for it to integrate. It's kind of like allowing ourselves to embody it. And like you were saying, see how it feels through a period of reflection to determine whether it's right for us, to determine whether that's our truth as well. And if it is, great. And if it's not, great. And if there's a part of it that is, then understand how that integrates and fits in with you and your worldview and your attitudes, etc. And don't try to force other aspects that don't feel right to somehow fit in or work in some way, versus being okay with simply holding on to and being true to what is right and feels right for you. But that's through reflection, contemplation, solitude in terms of setting aside time to simply sit and be with yourself, and allowing an integration process to happen rather than needing it to happen immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's excellent, Heisi. And I wanted to mention to our listeners, because there's a lot of technique and a lot of process and a lot of interesting perspective being offered, that you're more than welcome to re-listen to today's show from the archives. And when you choose to do that, if you choose to do that, just simply have a paper and pen and write down the points that appeal to you. Because if you do that and then you listen, let's say, in 2 weeks to the show once more, you may be in a totally different spot and some other processes or questions or points will resonate with you. So if you're out there and you're listening and you're saying, oh my heavens, this information is just what I need to hear, there's so much of it, that's not a worry. And there's other ways you can listen to the archives. As Heisi had mentioned, there's iTunes, there's Blog Talk Radio, there's, I know I'm missing Firefly Willows Live website. So you're more than welcome at any time to download 24/7. It's out there for you.
That is so true.
we listen to ourselves all the time, right, Ticey?
That's right. Over and over
replay,
again.
Replay.
shall I offer the herb that can energetically help support us? So when I talk about an herb or a plant, you know, the idea is everything has its own energetic signature, and we can use that to connect with that energy, and then that energy can help to support us in what we're trying to do in some way. It can stimulate certain things happening. And, you know, if you can ingest an herb or a plant, that's the most direct way to take the energy in. You can carry a little bit of it around with you in a little pouch, like in a pocket or around your neck. You can scatter it in a space or grow it in a space. What that'll do is fill that space with that energy. So if you wanted to use this herb and its energy, say, in a space where you are doing your reflection or your meditation, like Mildred was talking about, on a regular basis, then you could have that plant in that space, and it'll continue to kind of fill that space. So whenever you come to sit in that space, you step right into the fullness of that energy. You can burn it as an incense. You can make a tea. You can, if you can find it as a essential oil or as an herbal essence, then that's an easy way. Herbal essence is an easy way to ingest it. Essential oil is an easy way to put it on you and carry it with you. Just a couple of drops on your skin. You can put it in a bath, and you're basically infusing yourself with it by having it in a bath. So there's many, even if you can't get it physically, if you get an image of it, the image serves as kind of a focal point to draw the energy of that plant into, and you can use that as a meditative focus or as a way of drawing that energy in as well. So there's many ways to work with an herb or a plant, and the idea is so that you can connect with the energy that it possesses that will then help and support you in what you're trying to do. So what I did is I looked up what's the herb that is associated with the Justice card, since that seemed to come up as how we need to be looking at working with or questioning authority. And the herb that's associated with that is called plantain. Now, this is a little different than what you might think of as plantains, like when you fry plantains that are like the bananas kind of food. Plantain is also an herb. And so you would want to look for it. And generally, the source I'm using here for these correspondences is by Michael Tierra. And it's the things that are in here are not hard to find. If you can't find some place that has it around you, then one place I would suggest that you visit is mountainroseherbs.com. And I like them just because I know that they are really good at organic and wildcrafted kind of herbs and that kind of thing. So, and I know pretty much everything in here in this source that I use for this, they have available often in different forms, as a dried herb, as an essential oil, as an herbal essence, etc. So it's a really great place to check out if you can't find it otherwise. And plantain is really good at helping us to identify and clear away those areas of irritation that reside within us. So it helps us find the source of the irritation in order to then identify it, work on it, and remove it, rather than just focusing on or working on the symptom of the irritation. So if somebody is constantly angry, instead of something to work on the symptom, which is the anger, this plantain would help to find what's the source of the anger, so that I can work on clearing that away, rather than just putting a Band-Aid on the symptom but not dealing with the root or the source of it. And plantain is really good for helping to loosen up, I guess, congested thoughts, fixed ways of thinking or fixed ways of behaving. So we can hear how that really applies to this idea of questioning authority, because it can help us to be more willing to question things that are very fixed in their ways or fixed in the way things are supposed to be. But it also is going to help bring up and identify within ourselves where we've gotten stuck in fixed ways of thinking, fixed ways of acting that basically have become our authority because we just think that's how I am, that's how things are, that's how I've always done it. And by using plantain to make that adjustment, it helps to kind of rebalance things from being too far one side of I'm stuck in this to being more balanced in the middle, which says this is what I've operated with or what I've believed, but I'm also willing to question, and I hold on to what still seems to be right or true for me, but I also am willing to let go of things that no longer seem to be right, true, or working for me, rather than it's all or nothing. And what that helps us to do is create a new life for ourselves, because we start operating from a new mindset, from a new perspective, or we start operating from a more truthful and authentic way, which often then starts to create or stimulate changes in our external world that help to bring about new life or new things that we either had been trying to do and felt kept getting stuck in being able to make happen, or things may start to happen or change or come about that we hadn't necessarily expected or envisioned, but now we realize those are very right for us. So that's what plantain can really help with. And an affirmation you can think of for plantain is, by creating greater balance within, I create more joy in my life. So actually, the more we question and are willing to question authority, whether it's from an external source or from within ourselves, and the more we're able to say, I'm going to only live according to what I believe to be true and right for me, rather than simply what's right for somebody else or what somebody else says is the truth, the greater joy we're going to find in ourselves and in the way that we are living life and in what life is bringing us.
And I see the animal totem that comes up for this particular segment is hippopotamus. I'd love to read the description of hippopotamus for our readers and also acknowledge that we do have someone online. We have Anne, who will be open to our guidance in a reading. So, if Anne, thank you very much for calling in. And if you could hold on just a little while longer, what I'll do is read the animal totem for our listeners, and then we'll swing over to you. How does that sound, Heisi?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So the animal totem, first of all, I'll step back just for a second and say the animal kingdom has messages for us, beautiful, healing, all-encompassing messages, if that's something that we're open to. So as Heisi was talking and going through the herb, what I did is I went inside, I connected my heart and my spirit, and the animal totem that came up in relation to what Heisi was talking about is the hippopotamus. So that's where I get the animal totem. So if everybody would just take a deep breath and close their eyes and put their hand over their heart or in the center of their chest, I will read the information that the hippopotamus has to share with the listeners for their consideration. So the hippopotamus teaches you how to move gracefully through emotions, along with balancing the spiritual and the physical worlds. It teaches tenacity, endurance, patience, practicality, and demonstrates the power of inner wisdom and timing. Hippo balances and integrates the physical earthly properties with the watery emotional ones, along with stability and strength of movement. That could be movement or flow. The hippopotamus shows us how to look beneath the surface of appearances when needed, and teaches us to access intuition and to speak your truth. Here are some questions. Are you balancing the physical and the spiritual in your life? Are you listening to your intuitions and what your emotions are saying? Do you allow the daily world to override your feelings? The hippopotamus can teach everyone how to survive in balance by providing stability and awareness to these feelings. So that's what the hippopotamus has to offer to the listeners out there, and what guidance I provide is I may have read a sentence or read a word that really hit you, and that would be a starting point for your inner journey, your personal journey. So back over to High C.
Well, and I'll just toss in, and I always know Mildred will laugh at this.
Okay.
You know, the hippopotamus was a very important figure in ancient Egypt. And the hippopotamus, well, so the goddess Tawaret was represented as a hippopotamus or a hippopotamus-headed female deity. And she was one of the great mother goddesses. She's the goddess of fertility and childbirth. And the hippopotamus was also the symbol, a red hippopotamus was the symbol for a god named Set. Set is actually a god that is about storms and destruction, and chaos. And while that sounds bad, it actually is an important part of the natural order of things, because without destruction, you don't have rebirth and everything kind of stagnates. So what you were talking about, which is kind of those opposites of the physical and the spiritual and the balance of those and that kind of thing, we also see here that the ancient Egyptians also tapped into, which was not only was the hippopotamus about birth, and so I would say the hippopotamus coming up says, we encourage you to look at what's trying to be born or what's trying to emerge from within you that may be a new authority based on your own voice, or what is it that wants to be born, like your voice being born, something that you have to say or bring to the world that may go against what you've always accepted as the authority, but being willing to give birth to that, which from the Set side would also then perhaps bring about a bit of chaos and disorder, because when you start to question things, it can often cause, well, turbulence, let us say. You know, and so we see both sides of it even from that aspect. So, you know, for me, I always bring everything back to ancient Egypt, which I know Mildred always thinks is very funny, but I just wanted to point out that hippopotamus coming up certainly has a lot of resonance and symbolism from different perspectives as well as from long ago, and is still very applicable today.
Yeah, thanks, High C, and I always enjoy your Egyptian references, even though I'm laughing at you, not the Egyptian stuff. So I guess it's time to invite Anne to come into the equation, into the conversation here.
All right. Hello, Anne, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for taking my phone call.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in.
To the show, and I was wondering if you can help me with my problem with your tarot cards.
Sure. Can I just ask where you're calling from?
Sure. I'm calling from California.
Ah, all right. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. And I have a question, kind of burning question.
Sure.
I have a friend. It's a person that, well, I like to communicate with this person, and something has happened with problem communication, and I was wondering if you see that the friendship will be reestablished and communication will continue, or that's it for us, or that's the end.
And certainly, Mildred Lynn, if you have anything to offer that's coming in right away, feel free to do that as well, and
yeah,
I will.
While you're doing your shuffling your cards.
Yes.
Yeah. And welcome to the show. This is Mildred Lynn here. And what part of California are you in?
Oh, it's Orange County.
Oh, Orange County. Oh, I haven't been there yet, but I look forward to going to Orange County. And it's interesting because while you were still waiting, what came in for me were the vibrations of orange and yellow.
Oh.
In terms of two colors that would be especially nourishing and supportive to you at this time. And the animal totem that's available to you maybe for the next 2 to 3 months to help you specifically with your question or your opportunity is, this is going to sound so strange, it's the firefly.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, yes. Yeah, so if you wanted to go to Google and type in animal totem firefly, then it will show you information that will relate specifically to your question. So that's another thing that came up. And then the third aspect that came up, are you familiar with chakras?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the question that you're answering with in terms of which energy fields is it impacting, it would be the second chakra and the sixth chakra.
Okay.
So once again, what I would do is recommend go to Google and type in sixth chakra, second chakra, and there's with the sixth chakra, there's two messages in there that would be relevant and helpful, and with the second chakra, there's three messages.
Mm-hmm.
I love the internet because it saves me a lot of work.
Yeah, I love internet also. Thank you, Mildred. It's very nice.
You're welcome. And the fourth thing that came in for you in relation to your question, and I know High C wants to jump in just a second, is to be open to new developments. That is the other phrase that came out in, be open to new developments. So now I'll hand you back over to High C.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, first thing I'll say is about the firefly. You know, firefly often appears when it says that there is something hidden or confusing or unknown or being kind of kept in the dark that needs to have a light shined on it.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be one thing that may indicate is there may be something going on. And I would wonder if there may be something going on for the other person that you may not be aware of that is causing them to not be in communication with you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the cards that came up would say, like, what I did is I pulled three cards, and I'm looking at the card that represents the relationship between the two of you, what's going on in terms of the actual dynamic between the two of you. And the Ten of Swords reversed came up. Reversed just means it came up upside down. And a lot of times when that card is reversed, it says that we need to not over worry or overthink something. Things aren't nearly as bad as we may think that they are, or that we're letting our mind get carried away with. And
okay.
if we can just relax a little bit, you know, like what we were talking about earlier in the show, it may just be that we have to relax and give a little bit of time to something rather than trying to force it or need it to happen when we want it to happen. So just because we want to talk to somebody right now maybe is not the best time, or maybe there's other things going on that are simply not conducive to that being able to happen, but we need to stop thinking the worst.
Okay.
And just relax. And I would also say that actually all three cards here came up reversed, and that may indicate that there is a need for you to be more receptive, so which is just wait for the other person to contact or communicate with you rather than trying to do something to make communication happen.
Well, let you know, no, I'm not doing anything to make the communication happen. I just pulled back. I'm waiting what is going to be the development from this person. So that's why I would ask you if he will decide to reestablish this friendship or he wants to finish it. I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting back and waiting what will be his next step.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to, if nothing else, then that just kind of validates that what you're doing right now is the right way to be approaching it.
Yeah.
The card that came up for him is the Three of Discs reversed. And if you think of the Three of Discs as a card of work or something that is working and you reverse it, there's a sense that, well, one, it could indicate he feels there was something that just wasn't working for him in terms of how this friendship was developing or turning out or going. And Three of Discs is also a card about like collaboration or teamwork. I would also wonder, A, it may be very literal, that there are things going on in his work that are preventing him from being able to put a lot of attention or focus on what a friendship needs right now. And that I would actually worry about whether there are changes in his work situation, whether he is in fear of like losing his job, or there's just some major reorganization and things, and he doesn't know how that's going to affect him or his future, so he's just very kind of focused on that and therefore is not putting a lot of thought or time into what a friendship needs right now. So you're kind of, you know, the friendship kind of falls down the priority list at the moment. And that may be why we're seeing you just need to wait for a little while. The other aspect that I may be concerned about here is there may be somebody else in his life that is somehow influencing how he is thinking about the friendship and is not necessarily being supportive or very positive in encouraging him to pursue the friendship or develop the friendship.
Okay.
And, you know, the I Ching card that came up is called the arousing, but the image is like of a red sky with lightning, streaks of lightning going through it. And, you know, here, on the one hand, this is a hexagram from the I Ching that comes up that can represent things like a shock or a crisis or an upheaval. There, I would maybe go back to there may have been something that has happened in his life, maybe specifically around his work situation, that has caused a crisis or an upheaval for him that is taking all of his attention and energy. And therefore, other things and other people are just kind of getting left to the side because he's just in the midst of and dealing with all of that. You know, it would also be a hexagram that would make me a little bit concerned about how he perceived the power dynamic in the friendship, and he may have felt somehow threatened or put off or something about how something was said, what was said, where things were going, that kind of created that shock or crisis for him. And all of a sudden, you know, so there's a sense of I need to pull back and sort some things out and figure out if this is working or not for me, if this is giving me what I need. And so the Ten of Swords reversed is a card of being near the end of a phase or period of difficulty. So I don't think it's going to be very long before you have a clear indication of whether he's going to try to reinitiate communication in the friendship or just be done with it. And I pulled a clarifying card, which is the Two of Swords reversed. So I would say you probably will either hear from him or get a very clear indication or signal from him about what decision he's made in less than 2 weeks. So I don't think you're going to have to wait very much longer to know whether he wants to reinitiate this or not.
So you're feeling his decision will be reinitiate or just end this? Because what's the outcome of this? I know that it should be something that it cannot be just forever.
Well,
so waiting and...
The overall indication here is that it doesn't seem as if he's going to feel as if he wants to reinitiate it at this point.
Okay, so in other words, he will let me know that he's done, right?
Right. And I think that he'll probably let you know that within a couple of weeks' time. But I think that if you're hoping for it to be reinitiated, I don't think that you're going to have that hope be fulfilled. And the reason I use the word hope there is because you can hope for that, but I don't want you to have the expectation. Because if you have the expectation that it will be reinitiated or that he'll want to, you know, reconnect or whatever, then you set yourself up for disappointment. But we can hope for something. Hope just means, this is what I would like to happen, but I'm open to and receptive to whatever does happen, versus expectation says, this is what I need to happen, and if it doesn't, I'll be upset. So I would look at these cards and say, if you're hoping for it to be reinitiated, it probably isn't going to be, and therefore don't hold any expectation around it being reinitiated so that you don't set yourself up to be angry or disappointed because something doesn't turn out the way you needed it to.
Yeah, you know what? We've been friends for a very, very long time, so that means the end of the friendship. That it was a very long time. It was
well, several years. Let's just say that it seems as if the friendship needs to take a break. I'm not saying that this is the end of a friendship for eternity. It's more a sense of it may be that there are things that this person needs to work through and sort through in their life, related to the friendship or not. But that this friendship, like the Eight of Swords came up. So there's a sense that this friendship is kind of a victim of circumstance. So things that are going on, the friendship is going to suffer or be a victim of those things, at least for now. So it's not that it may never be reconnected. It's just that it's not going to be reconnected in the near future. And
I told him during one of our communications maybe a month ago, so no matter what happens in our lives, we're still friends and we can always turn to each other for help and so on and so on. I never got a response for this email, and he responded with something else 2-3 weeks later. So that's why, kind of strange. It's not something that I asked for each day. Like, you know, when you stay friends, you talk from time to time to these people, but
well, I would not expect him to necessarily try to be in contact with you for what will seem a significant period of time. And I think it's because he's going through some crisis and through some upheaval in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore is just kind of getting caught up in that. And that can sometimes cause us to react to or perceive things in a way that was never meant to be. So it's like maybe without you even knowing it, you know, you said something that somehow upset him or angered him or whatever, but it's really not because he's upset or angry at you. It's just that there's other things going on in his life that causes him to just go to an upset or an anger place. And then he projects it onto whatever is right there in front of him. So he says, oh, well, obviously this friendship is just going to be more of something that causes me frustration or anger or whatever, rather than is helping. So I don't have time for that.
And, okay.
You know, so I think in the long term, he'll probably calm down, but that's not going to happen anytime soon. You've done what you need to do, which is you've reached out, you've let him know we're still friends no matter what. It's just going to take a long time for him to come back around to feeling like he's ready to reinitiate communication. Part of that is because he'll probably feel guilt around what he did or having not talked for a long time or whatever. And then it'll take him longer to get over that before he, you know, comes back. And then he'll say something like, oh, I just felt so guilty and I was so afraid you'd be upset. And I was, you know, just didn't want to like talk to you because I was afraid it was just going to upset you more or whatever. But this says stop trying to do anything at this point.
No, I'm not going to do anything. Thank you so much. I just thought I would ask you, should I, because sometimes it's better to be prepared for something negative than not to be prepared.
Right.
And this way, you know, it would be easier for me to take this negative response or maybe email if he's going to tell me. Because, you know, sometimes it's better to be prepared. But thank you for your time. I'm sorry someone is trying to reach me on the other line, so I have to go. I really appreciate your time and your energy and your reading.
Okay.
And, I'm very glad that I got this clarification because, you know, thank you.
And you may not even get an email from him that says, I don't want to talk anymore, you know, kind of thing. It may just be that there is no communication from his side.
It's okay. Well, not a problem.
Okay.
Take care, Ann. Good
Thank
luck.
You. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, thank you, Mildred Lynn, for contributing to that as well.
Oh, you're welcome. And as Ann was speaking, I know that she's gone. What came up for me at the end is when a person is going through that type of situation where they have reached out and the other party, for whatever reason, is not ready to engage again, or maybe it's not even in their highest interest to engage again at this point, I'm wondering where that person can gather strength from.
Well, I would say on the one hand,
winning is hard.
Well, But I think on the one hand, I think strength comes from acceptance. If you can accept you've done what you can do, and then let go of expectation of needing the other party to respond or do something as a result of you having done something, then you can kind of come to a place of acceptance and make peace with the situation. And again, it's not that you give up hope. You can still hope that at some point in the future, say in this situation, the person will reach out and reconnect with you and that you'll be able to continue the friendship. But instead of waiting around for that, you know, it's like the person who waits around at home for the phone to ring rather than getting out and just getting on with their life.
Yes. Easier said than done, though. Easier for those of us who've worn the phone around their necks as a piece of jewelry.
Well, I never try to pretend that what I say is easy, but
I know. It's
just food for thought. And then we have to try to see if I, you know, how I can do that, if I can put that into practice, how I can cultivate what that might be, and then be patient with myself to do it.
You know, someone very wise said to me, if you look at people who come together, their souls come together to teach and learn and expand each other, sometimes the vibration becomes complete. And although you may not meet again or interact again in a certain vibration or in a certain way, in the future there may be another vibration that you can come together on. So it's
right.
Almost like a weaving in and out. And in a period in my life when that was explained to me, for whatever reason, it gave me a great sense of comfort and continuity and hope. So it's almost as if goodbye for now, but what gave me greater comfort was knowing that perhaps the agreement or the opportunity to interact with this other person was complete.
Right.
We did our thing together, and now it was time to engage in other activities or invest in other people or whatever, you know, that.
Which brings us full circle back around to the astrological aspect, because we were talking about death and rebirth, and I use the analogy of like keeping somebody on life support versus letting go. And
that
what you just described would be similar to that, because it would be making the decision to let them go, to turn off the life support and say, we'll see each other again in the afterlife or in another lifetime. So we know that there is the potential for us to come back together, but for whatever reason, us, whatever this being together was for now, has come to its conclusion. And rebirth doesn't happen overnight. Therefore, we simply accept that and then say it can and will happen at some future time, rather than needing to know when or needing it to be immediate. And we only have a couple of minutes left. I just wanted to toss out what the crystals were that came up for everyone that could also help them in terms of dealing with and questioning authority and that kind of thing, just to finish that thought. And there was actually two that came up, and they're both very easy to find. And the first one is black tourmaline. And black tourmaline is for purification. It's also really good for protection. And, you know, what I found interesting is when I look at what black tourmaline is about, one of the things it says is it's time to undertake a purification. Perhaps you are holding on to old patterns that no longer serve you. And, you know, that is quite the encapsulation of much of what we've been talking about today.
Yes, exactly.
And so, you know, doing that, questioning authority so that you can let go of the old patterns or the old rules and structures and limitations that you've lived under or been limited by, black tourmaline will help you to start to break free from those, to recognize those, and then start to purify yourself of them, which just means to shed them and allow new things to come in. And the other crystal that came in was smoky quartz, which is a really good stone for grounding. And, you know, smoky quartz is really good at helping to reconnect with the earth and reconnect with our earth energies, if you will, which is kind of like what it's reconnecting with what gifts and lessons we came into this lifetime with. So I would encourage people to seek out black tourmaline and smoky quartz, which will help them to feel safe, grounded, and be willing to question authority and old patterns. So thank you very much, Mildred, for having joined me today.
My pleasure.
Thank you to everybody who was listening, and hopefully you will join us next week. Actually, next week we have a special show, and it's going to be an interview with the four of us co-hosts, and you'll get to hear a little more insight about why we started this show, what we hope that this show is about, and some of our views on some of the things that we bring about or that we bring out in the show. So we encourage you to listen next week for that.
And thank you to Deb Caracella for being in the screening room.
And so until next time, we bid the adieu, and we look forward to joining you here again next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Thank you, Mildred Lynn.
Thank you, Hi C. Bye for now, everybody.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Firefly Willows LIVE. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please join us next week for a very special episode where the scoop on Firefly Willows LIVE is revealed. We invited a longtime friend and business associate of the Caracellas to act as host, and the Firefly Willows LIVE team are the guests. Listen in as Joe asks the team how we got together, why we're here, and we discuss our thoughts on where we may be in the future. This is Deb Caracella. Please join us next Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time on Firefly Willows LIVE, Blog Talk Radio.